Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to LG Equipment's Q4 FY17 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Market Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Market Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets, we welcome you all to the 4Q and FY17 earnings conference call of LG Equipment Limited. We have with us today Mr. Jairam Varadaraj, Managing Director of the company. I request Mr. Jairam to provide us with an overview of the quarterly and the yearly finances, and then we shall begin the Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Kamlesh. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure for me to be with you. As we normally do, I will take you through the consolidated quarter results in comparison with last year's fourth quarter and also the consolidated results for the full financial year. Now, starting with the quarter, our sales has been marginally lower than compared to the last year's same quarter, fourth quarter. But it's the difference between last year's quarter and this quarter has to be moderated by the fact that last year's quarter had a little bit of residual sales from Bel Air, which was shut down, and we don't have any sales to that through that organization this quarter. Nevertheless, the difference is about, we are lower by about 5.5% in this quarter compared to the same quarter last year. Now, if you look at the EBITDA, our EBITDA is 400. If we had the same ratio of performance profitability, considering the decline in sales and the better realization and material cost, the EBITDA would have been 343. We've actually done 400. So actually the increase in EBITDA on a performance normalization basis is about 56. The biggest savings at a consolidated level is lower manpower cost, which has been primarily through the shutdown of Bel Air, reduction in China, and a little bit of rationalization in the US. Our variable cost was lower, but again, that is in the US market. So by and large, I would say the quarter performance has been, from a profitability point of view, has been pretty good. Our top line has been challenged, but last year we had a little bit of water well business. But if you take the industrial side, this quarter has been better. Industrial and non-water well business, this quarter has been better than the last year's quarter. Coming to the consolidated results for the full financial year, our sales has been 1,370 crores for 16-17, and the equivalent sales for last year without sales from Bel Air was 1,353. So there's been a marginal growth of about 1%. If I go down to EBITDA, last year's EBITDA was at a consolidated level was 130 crores. This year's EBITDA at a consolidated level is 141 crores. Maintaining the same ratio as last year, the EBITDA would have been only 125. So we have done about close to 16 crores better this year. And that's been primarily driven by reduction in manpower cost again from Bel Air and China primarily. We have reduced certain variable costs in the U.S., and there has been increase in fixed cost in LG and ATS, and that's primarily due to the manpower cost increase that we incurred as part of our normal salary increase this year. So that's a summary. I will take specific questions and probably you will get to understand the business better through those questions. In terms of the overall economic situation in the various markets, India had made all the right noises. We are positive. There were certain quarters that looked very good. Then demonetization hit us. There was a lot of uncertainty. We've come out of it. The sentiments are positive, but the sentiments are yet to get converted into actual capacity building, which is fundamental for our business. It's also a fact that a lot of companies over the last 3 to 4 years have built a lot of capacity, and those are getting utilized as well. So we've got to wait and see, but generally the trend is pointing upwards, and I would say I'm more confident about 17-18 than I was with 16-17. We are a little concerned about two things, actually three things. One is we're worried about GST. We all recognize that this is a temporary thing. In the long run, hopefully it's good for the country. But considering the current fluidity and lack of transparency in how it's going to get implemented, the software that they've developed for setting off credits and accounting, we don't know what kind of issues we're going to come. So there is a overall nervousness about surrounding that in terms of how it will impact the business. The second area is pertaining to commodity prices. We have experienced some very sharp increases in steel since December of last year. Whether they're going to revert back or whether they're going to stabilize is to be, we have to wait and see. There are no clear indications in any specific way. And unfortunately, these steel prices are specific to India, and we even import opportunities because of the anti-dumping duty are not available to us. We have corrected prices to the extent that the market will absorb. We are not too worried that if it stabilizes at these levels, we are not too worried about any margin erosion compared to what it was, compared to the margin levels in 16-17. But it's a word of caution. We got to wait and see what happens to them. The third area is our manpower cost. There is going to be a significant increase in our manpower cost, partly because our blue-collar employees are going through a five-year. After 5 years, there is a correction in our blue-collar employee cost, which is part of our overall understanding with our employees. There is also a bit of correction in the white-collar, specifically in certain areas. So those costs is a chunky cost that's going to be coming in this year. But overall, if we are able to get the support from the Indian market in terms of the way, in terms of what we expect, and our expectations have been tempered quite reasonably, we are looking at anywhere between 10 to 11% at a base level we are looking at growth. And if we do that, I think we'll still be in very good shape. Europe, specifically Rotair, is showing very positive indications of improvement. We expect Rotair to have a good year in 17-18. US, LG's operations in US other than patents has grown very well in 16-17, and we expect that momentum to continue. Patents, I believe that the bulk of the issues are behind us, and we will start looking at improvement. So those two are looking good. Brazil is the economy is challenging, continues to be a challenge, very high levels of uncertainty. The market, the economy is expected to grow by only 2%. More than that, there is a huge liquidity problem in the country. So we are tightening our belt and keeping the operation at the worst case, which should not, it will be a break-even. So not too worried about any losses being contributed by Brazil. Middle East, 16-17 for us, Middle East was a bit challenging because for a good part of the year, oil prices were quite unremunerative for them. But there is an uptick in oil, but there are differing opinions in which direction oil prices are going to go. But if they continue to sustain at these levels, countries like Saudi Arabia, which are one of the lowest cost producers, should come back into an investment mode. But we'll have to wait and see. The whole of Asia-Pacific, other than China, we had a good performance from all the countries. And the trend continues to look positive, so we expect those markets. That has been a long time in coming. So maybe because our CFO has been looking after it, maybe he's been able to turn it around. So that's been a positive sign for us, and we are looking quite optimistically in that region. China, we have, like we did last year, we have rationalized our costs. Our costs are under control. We continue to gain some revenue in the aftermarket and one-off products which we are supporting from here. We will continue to hold tread water in China at the present level, even while we build our product strategy and an entry strategy for China. So this kind of summarizes our present situation and what we expect for 17-18. In terms of the debt levels, right now we are at 147 crores. At the current rate, even if we don't grow at 10%, at the current level at which we are controlling our cash and generating cash, I'm still optimistic that we should be able to be debt-free by September of 2018. So this is really the highlight of our performance. So I'll be happy to entertain questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may press star and 1. We take the first question from the line of Kashyap Pujara from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, just wanted to understand two quick things on the numbers. The gross margin decline, possibly on the standalone level, was that the outcome of high steel prices? Is that a correct understanding to have?
At what level are you defining gross margin, Kashyap?
We look at there was a sharp increase in the RM cost. So if you look at sales minus RM cost, the gross margin has declined by about 80-90.
For the three-month period, right?
Yes, for the quarter, sir.
Now, what we have done is we have taken, one is, there's a very marginal impact because of the steel prices. We've been able to recover most of it. The two things that we need to look at is, one is we made a provision as per Ind AS for certain of our R&D raw material. You know, there was a prescription in terms of how we should account it. So there is an impact of that. And there is a change in the mix between last quarter and this quarter, but that varies from quarter to quarter. So if you look at the for the year, it's kind of held at the same level. But if you go back and look at the four quarters, there would have been variations that contributed by mix.
Right, sir. That explains quite a bit, sir. Sir, and the second question I had on the quarter was that there is a sharp reduction in the EBIT margins at the LG ATS level.
Yeah.
So, as you highlighted in your opening remarks, does it predominantly got to do with the manpower cost, or there are a few other items there as well, which are
in ATS? We have taken a significant impact on cost because of raw material. because our competition there is primarily products that are imported and sold from China. There are no local manufacturers. And Chinese steel prices, there have been two levels of impact. One is the Chinese steel prices are significantly lower than India. And second, during the quarter, we've had a significant appreciation of the rupee. So because of which for the people importing from China, it has been a windfall profit. And they've been aggressive in the pricing, and we decided in some key customers we will react and some we will not. So that's the primary impact in the at the material cost level. In ATS, we have done a lot of correction in terms of provisioning for C-form as well. Because with GST around the corner, we are providing for C-forms as well as for the R&D material. So this is non-cash, really.
Okay. That's quite helpful, sir. Just two more questions from my end. What would be our CAPEX pipeline for FY18? Any guidance on that?
You know, we said that we will not exceed 30 crores, Kashyap, but even this year, we haven't spent that kind of money. So I don't expect anything significant.
That's quite useful, sir. Sir, and just one last thing. At the analyst meet in February, you talked about the new range of centrifugal compressors. Sir, yeah. If you could just give us a few more insights into that, that would be very helpful.
There is nothing significant in terms of progress on that in the quarter, Kashyap. The thing is, we have got three machines running in the field. We have got one more frame developed, and we are going to start testing it in June. The first level stage-wise testing has been very positive, so we will integrate the machines and test in June.
Right, sir. And when would this come on stream? When would this be?
We've already started selling the machine, the frames that we have produced. So we've started that.
Great, sir. That is quite helpful. Good luck. And if there are further questions, I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Jasdeep Walia from Infina Finance. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, what's been the growth in exports from India in FY17 versus FY16?
Oh, hold on a second. Let me see if I can pull that information out. It's not something that we... hold on a second. So we have done, let me see. So it's been pretty flat. It's been the same levels.
Okay.
But that's not a good indication because, you know, these are almost 90%+ is sales to subsidiaries, which is really restocking inventory. It doesn't reflect the sales. At a consolidated level, it all gets netted off.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So if we have to measure the traction in your overseas subsidiaries with respect to sales of LG compressors, how do we measure that? I thought exports is a number that we can monitor.
No, exports, see, for instance, our direct export to end customers is a very small percentage. Mm-hmm. We are selling to our subsidiaries, and subsidiaries in turn stock and sell to end customers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the specific performance of our major subsidiaries, it will give you a sense of what is the growth that is there.
Got it. So what's been the growth in the sales of LG compressors outside India in last year?
I don't have the number in front of me. We can do it offline if you want to call our CFO.
Sure, sir. Sir, sometime back, you said that you're planning to get your compressors rated in US, and there's some agency in US which rates all the compressors and does all the ranking. And you expected significant improvement in your brand profile once that rating, once you got that rating done. So what's the...
Testing has been done, Jagdeep, and I don't have the latest update on when they're going to list us in their website. But I know the testing has been done, but I can give you the actual status offline. I can ask our CFO to give you that.
Got it, sir. Got it. So do you expect substantial improvement in the sales after that rating is done?
It will certainly help us because this is now an independent agency that is publishing our performance. So it is not necessary. We don't have to rely on our brochures and the statements of our salespeople, which generally customers may look with a certain level of bias, right?
Got it.
So this agency then is an accredited, well-accepted, reputed agency. So it'll certainly help, but will it give us the right to win in the market? Probably not, but it gives us a substantial right to play.
Got it. Thanks a lot, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ashi Anand from Allegro Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ashi.
Yeah, the first question I had is, if I'm not mistaken, about 3-4 years back, we introduced oil-free screw compressors.
Yeah.
Just want to understand how has progress been on the same and what kind of market shares would we have in the segment?
Just to give you a background, we started selling oil-free screw compressors with a license from Hitachi about 12-13 years ago. And at which point the program was we were buying the critical parts, which is the air ends or the air blocks, which is the key technology of that product from Hitachi, and the rest of it we are packaging in India. We started developing our own blocks subsequently, and for the last almost 3-4 years, we've been selling our machines into the field. The performance has been very good in terms of whichever customer we have sold to, their level of satisfaction and appreciation of the product has been very good.
Okay.
Now, in terms of our market share in India in that segment, it is still very low. If you look at the oil-free market, it's perceived to be a very specialized, highly delicate, kind of sensitive product. So LG's credibility to fulfill those expectations of, you know, high levels of sensitivity and performance, still there are certain segments of the market that still feel that we may not be there. So there is a certain inertia in terms of convincing customers. That's the phase that we're going through. But ironically, we're gaining better acceptance for our products outside the country than in the country, which is good because it gives us a certain story to tell to build our own brand credibility inside India.
Okay, so we're seeing a certain amount of decent traction in international markets in oil-free.
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent.
I wouldn't write to my mother about it, but
sure.
I'm certainly, it's significant compared to the previous period. Yeah.
Perfect. Secondly, I was just wondering if you could give me some kind of a breakup of our business in India across different client segments. So if we're looking at, say, construction, water well, industrial, railways, mining, approximately what percentage of our revenues would be coming from each of these?
I wouldn't like to share that specific segment level because it's too sensitive an information. I can only say our industrials have grown, our construction and mining has grown, Waterwell has been it has been a drop, but there are certain segments in Waterwell that has grown well for us. Railways has been marginal growth, aftermarket has grown well for us. I don't want to give a breakup, this is too sensitive.
No, perfect. We'll appreciate that. But if you could just ask a follow-up on that question.
Yeah.
When we're looking at the 10 to 11% base level growth that you mentioned,
yeah.
Is that broadly coming in from the segments that you mentioned in terms of industrials, construction, mining, those
absolutely
actually being the segments that are driving growth?
Yes. That's what we, as per our budget that we have planned, these are the segments that are going to be the growth engines for us.
Okay, excellent. And just the last question from my side. Margins have been improving over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Now, if we're looking at FY18, we're in a situation where raw materials have moved up and are currently a bit volatile. Employee costs, as you mentioned, may be going up.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if there's any incremental scope for cost reduction internationally. So just wanted some sense on what is your outlook for margins in FY18?
You know, if profitability, if we are able to hit the growth, top-line growth that we have planned, the profitability ratios can be maintained or slightly improved compared to the current year. Because there are certain provisions that we have made in the current year as part of Ind AS, which are not going to be, we won't take that in this year. CFOM and provisions for raw material and all that.
Okay.
So there should be, if we hit the growth, if the commodity prices maintain at current levels, then we should be all right. But if there is upward volatility, then this is something that we need to take stock of. Because you can't really pass on, you know, a marching kind of commodity prices can't all be passed on into a market.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for all the answers.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ranjit Shivram from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Ranjit.
Yeah, sir, just wanted to know, because is there any play, because some of the products which we used to previously forged, we are moving to cast-based applications. So
yeah.
Is there an improvement in margins because of this shift?
There is certainly an improvement, Ranjit, but we'll see a lot more of it in the current year rather than in 16-17. But, you know, in terms of a top line of 1,400 or 1,500, they're not going to convert into a significant percentage. But they are all contributing factors.
So what percentage of the revenue, if you can give a ballpark number, is currently forged, and going forward, how much of this will get into cast, and because of that there can be an...
I expect not more than about maybe 1.2, 1.3 crores as a contribution in absolute levels.
Okay, and in terms of the drivers for growth, how did Demon really impact us? Because now we are 2 quarters into it. So just wanted to get some idea, did Demon actually had any impact at all?
I don't think there was an impact in the sense it reversed our current our run rate at that time. But it certainly dampened people's decisions, because people were not sure how the economy is going to look like when the dust settled down. And the dust took a long time to settle down, right? So many of the customers who were in the pipeline for conversion kept postponing. So that had a cascading effect through.
Okay, and so can we expect that now it has settled down, that one next year there can be an incremental, the growth can be better? And also with GST, are you seeing the unorganized trade, the share of unorganized trade getting reduced? And what is your overall sense on that unorganized portion of the trade because of GST?
If you look at our current year, the growth has been, like I said, about 1%. And if you look at our expectation for 17-18 is between 10 to 11%. So clearly, we are looking at a very positive economic situation, not only in India, but also in other markets that I mentioned. As far as GST is concerned and the impact of that in the unorganized sector, on paper, it has to. But, you know, there is something called enforcement. There is law and then there is enforcement. Now, today, the unorganized sector is doing whatever it is doing, not because the law allows it, it's because the enforcement is just not good enough. Now, we haven't heard anything about how GST is going to get enforced. So, we'll have to wait and see. There are too many moving parts here for which there are no explanations.
Okay, and one sector I think which is doing in terms of capex is oil and gas. So, do we have a good exposure in that? Because we have seen a couple of refinery projects getting sanctioned. So, will there be a positive impact of because of those refineries?
We are not in the oil and gas business at all, right? And we don't supply compressors for the oil and gas. But if there are non-API machine requirements for refineries, that is basically their maintenance part of the refinery, then yes, we will see opportunity. But they are very small compared to the big machines that go into refinery requirements.
So it will be largely road constructions and mining which will drive FY18 growth?
No, industrial will be there, all across industrial like it is happening now.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hello, Ravi. How are you?
Great, sir. How are you, sir?
Good.
Sir, you are giving an idea about the growth in the various end sectors, segments.
Yeah.
Construction equipment and mining equipment related sales. When we interact with other players in the market like Tata Hitachi, etc., and they have been talking about high teens growth in this particular, driven by a particular segment, driven by road construction.
Yeah.
Are we also seeing such a kind of a growth, and it is only the industrial and the water well business which is acting as a drag, or is it like, what would be the kind of pace of growth in each segment? If you don't need to mention the numbers, but higher teens, mid-teens, single-digit growth, it'll be...
I would kind of venture it's higher teens.
Mm-hmm.
And it is... Industries are not flat, Ravi. Industries are not growing at the same higher teens, but they are growing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understood. So and water well business, that is kind of acting as a drag this quarter, that had acted as a drag?
Yeah.
And the drought situation which is prevailing in the southern markets, is it impacting our listing, or is it likely to bring in more business to us?
You have to wait and see. Normally the water well business and the rainfall and drought are not perfectly correlated.
Okay.
So there is enough capacity in the market. Every 2 to 3 years there is a replacement investment that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, we need to wait and see when that comes in. Right now, there is a reasonable demand.
Okay. Okay. Understood. And are we launching any new products or new variants in each of the respective segments to keep the growth going? I mean...
In which segment?
In each of these. I mean, we are there present in piston, screw and centrifugal. Are there any variants which we keep launching, or is it like...
Yeah, constantly. Constantly.
Okay. Okay. We will keep launching new products.
That's an ongoing process.
Okay. Got it. And sir, in terms of the employee cost, you had mentioned that it is likely to increase. Can you tell the quantum as to what could be the hike that could be given to...
We are looking at around 12% growth. This includes also certain additional headcount that we are planning in certain verticals and certain geographies in sales and service.
Okay. This is at a console level we are looking at 12%.
No, this is at a standalone level.
Yeah. Understood. And this quarter, compared to last quarter, there was a decrease in the other cost. Is it because of the absence of the consultancy charges that we had hired a consultant? That has gone off, or what is 53 crores is reading as 37 crores. Hello?
Are you looking at consolidated results?
Standalone results, sir. Standalone.
Standalone. For the quarter?
Fourth quarter, other expenses were 36 crores. The corresponding number last quarter was 53 crores. So there has been a sharp reduction.
Other expenses, 53 has become?
36.
This is 53 included provisions for, if you, I don't know whether you remember the last con call, we had a provisioning for Bel Air.
Okay.
That is not there this quarter.
Okay. So that provisioning is part of the other cost itself?
Yeah.
Consolidation will become
negative. Yeah, if you look at the consolidated numbers,
okay,
it will get set off.
Okay. Okay. Got it, sir. Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Kashyap Pujara from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Aditya. Two questions on the softer side of things, sir. You've mentioned that you have a target of being the number two player globally, and this includes a little bit of inorganic component as well. Can you just help us understand if you were to zero in on a target, what would be the key characteristics of that target, and probably what are your learnings from the previous inorganic acquisitions in, that you've done over the last few years?
I had explained this in the analyst meet, but I'll go through it briefly. For us, acquisitions of the kind which will give us access to customers will be what the focus will. That will be the focus for us. In terms of access to technologies, in terms of new things, we don't need it because we're quite happy with what we have. Quite confident that we have the products and the technology to aspire for our ambition.
Right.
We may look at certain adjacent kind of investments, like for instance, there are air treatment products which we are currently selling that we don't manufacture. There is an opportunity not only in India but globally. The technology is not rocket science, but instead of reinventing the wheel, if there are attractive opportunities in the air treatment space, we will look at it, right? So basically, that will be the guiding factor. The lessons learned for us is we will not look at very small acquisitions like we did with Bel Air, and we will not look at acquisitions that have very, very thin profitability margins, because we find that anytime you do an acquisition, there will be a certain incremental cost that has to be incurred to get the acquisition aligned to our way of working systems and all that. And anything that has thin margins tend to put additional stress on us.
Great. That's quite useful, sir. So one more question on that front. We've engaged BCG as our consultant. Is there a way, or is there a chance you could help us understand what are the key recommendations they've given both on the domestic and the overseas front?
Well, they've given us a new organization structure, which we are now evaluating and in certain places progressively implementing. We have done quite a bit of that implementation in India sales and service. It's too elaborate for me to talk about in an open forum.
Sure.
In terms of our sales and marketing, they've come up with certain processes which we are in the middle of implementing. Hopefully, in another year's time, I'll be able to give you a very clear picture on how effective it has been. But at the moment, I can say that the initial responses have been very positive.
Great, sir. That is quite useful, sir. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mohammed Mandasar from Optimum Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Mohammed.
So there was question that can you just tell me that how have the EBITDA margins because of the shift in accounting policy from GAAP to Ind AS? So
yeah.
In this year, we for FY17, we did about 10% margin. So how would this number look had the not this accounting shift not happened?
You're talking at a consolidated level?
Yes, sir.
Okay, right. At consolidated level, we are at 10.3 compared to 9.3. So generally in consolidation, there is not much of an impact because what is the provisioning that we have to do at the head of, at the parent level gets set off when you consolidate with all the subsidiaries.
Okay.
But there have been some head office level specific provisioning pertaining to sales tax, pertaining to certain raw material in R&D. They are all very marginal, nothing significant.
Right. And so there's thing, in the quarter, you've given a reconciliation of the PAT as per of the quarter and FY16 as per Ind AS and GAAP. So, if I see that as per FY16, it is 63 crores as per GAAP, and as per Ind AS, it comes down to about 51 crores. So,
yeah.
There are certain items that you've written as loss on deconsolidation of subsidiary, that is 6 crores, then
yeah.
Provisions on constructive obligations, 2 crores. So, can you just tell me or give me more clarity on what these items relate to and why the 13 crore difference?
Can you, this is a very detailed response, Mohammed. Can you take it up with our CFO offline?
Sure, sir. No.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Aruna Bharti from Parry Washington. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Good afternoon, Aruna. How are you?
Yeah, good, Jay. Yeah, I just have a couple of questions. The first one is anything on the domestic competitive landscape?
Well, nothing significant. The existing players are there and nobody has waned. Hitachi has bought Salair globally, Salair has an operation in India, so we need to see what Hitachi does with that.
Okay, and Salair is strong in which segment of the compressors actually?
Well, they do, in India they've been doing primarily the industrial, they've not brought their portable range.
Got it, okay.
In terms of, we'll have to wait and see what they do. There have been some few instances of cheap Chinese machines that have come in, but I wouldn't say they're significant. And it's not restricted to one brand. They've been, you know, kind of scattered opportunities in different parts of the market. So I don't see any big change in the competitive structure.
Got it. That's helpful. Jimmy, the second one is actually a bookkeeping question. What's the consolidated level, what's the gross debt actually, total debt?
It's 147.
No, that's, you're talking about, I guess you're talking about the net debt number. I'm talking about the gross debt number, the total.
Gross debt would be, what is it that you need to add, Sriram?
The debt amount is, you add the borrowings, two borrowings only, that is about 2109.
No, if I add the two borrowings, I get about 211 crores, but my question is there something that is buried in current liabilities?
That is about 41.
41.
Yeah, 251 will be the liability.
Alright, that's helpful. That's all. Thanks, Jay, and thanks, Sriram.
But you can't take the debt as it is because there are margin money deposited against that debt in the bank. So you need to net it and see.
Got it. I got it. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Ishit Sheth from Anvil Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question, sir.
Sure.
So just wanted to check on basically, you know, how do you see LG, you know, 4 years down the line? I mean, we've spoken about, you know, seeing increasing traction in India and our overseas markets for our products. And
yeah.
We're quite confident, like, you know, in terms of the kind of stagnation we had over the last 4-5 years in terms of our top line growth. We are likely to see much higher growth from here on. So, I mean, how do you see that panning out just organically for us as a company?
What I said is about 10 to 11% growth for this year 17-18 is purely organic.
Sure.
We are looking at inorganic opportunities that will supplement this growth that we are talking about.
Sure.
In our planning, we are not taking very aggressive organic growth in India.
Okay.
Because we are unable to predict the growth in the economy. Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas we are looking at aggressive growth consistent with what we have done in the last 3-4 years in some of the large markets where the headroom is very high. So if you look at US, you look at Europe, we have done well. Our growth rates have been double digits in most instances, high double digits, high teens.
Sure.
So we, in those markets, we are looking at pretty aggressive organic growth percentages.
Correct. So but in terms of US, say for example, from 2016 subsidiary financials that I see, we were at about, combined for both the subsidiaries in US, we were at about 226 crores.
Yeah.
Product and services included. Now, product, if I see, is around 172 crores.
Yeah.
Now, that market itself, we are talking about a 5 billion plus kind of a market. So, this 172 is kind of an insignificant number in terms of the US market.
Exactly. So
there, do we see some kind of exponential growth happening in US? Because, again, I mean, we've gone through the learning curve and all of that in the last 3 years. So do we see any traction there, basically?
See, you got to see the subsidiary books don't reflect the granular level performance of the various operating entities.
Sure.
So we have LG USA, which is a separate entity, which caters to other than besides patents to other distributors.
Right.
Now, patents has a significant market share in the 4 southern states, so expecting patents to grow significantly is not realistic. We are planning to get patents back to the level it was before we bought it.
Sure.
Whereas LG USA on its sales, other than to patents, has been significant. I don't want to give percentage growth, but it's been a very, very high percentage of growth.
Okay.
Now that's, for me, if you want to call it exponential, it is exponential, but unfortunately the base number is small, right?
Sure.
So that's the only way it will happen, right? Unless we supplement it with certain inorganic opportunities.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So in the inorganic, what we can look at is again like acquiring a distribution network, or are we also looking at acquiring a standalone compressor company also there?
Like I just explained in the call, we are not looking to buy companies for products or technologies.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
We will be looking at acquisitions that give us adjacent entries into products, entry into adjacent products, or entry into, acquisitions that give us access to customers.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Okay, sir. That'll be it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one.
participants to ask a question, you may press star and one.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, sir. Kamlesh here. Sir, a couple of points. You touched upon GST. So, sir, as we see, there are going to be some shift in terms of the market shifting to organized players rather than unorganized. Can you get us some sense as to how big could be that opportunity, unorganized to unorganized flavor of that, and how we can gain some market share from them? If you can help us on that.
See, we are facing unorganized competition at two levels, Kamlesh. One is in our piston compressors. We think the market size could be almost 3 to 4 times the organized market.
Mm-hmm.
So, to what extent that market will completely... But if you look at the pricing difference between us and the unorganized market, it could be anywhere between 25 to 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So GST alone is not going to bridge the entire gap.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take the unorganized segment that we are not catering to, not all the customers are of the kind who are expecting that deeper difference in price.
Mm-hmm.
So with GST, this 25 to 40% may narrow down to probably maybe 15 to 30%, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So customers in the lower end of the unorganized or upper end of the unorganized who are willing to pay that additional 15% for better quality, longer life, better energy consumption, we could expect them to swing. But it's very difficult to predict that number.
Yeah.
That is one part. The second part is there are unorganized players in our aftermarket who are selling spurious parts.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be most of these parts are primarily imported.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been all this, you know, taxes not being paid or cash transactions or whatever. In those instances, we will be in a strong wicket. And that has already become a point of focus and initiative for us in our current year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we expect to see some good results there.
But on the industrial, the non-piston compressor side, you don't have any major unorganized market?
No. Very, 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 very small.
Okay. Secondly, sir, how much would be our aftermarket revenue for the year, if you can see how that has grown, spares and...
The aftermarket is... You've seen the... Aftermarket. Took it back. I don't have it, in fact.
Is
India
will be there. I don't have consolidated.
Kamlesh, can we get back to you?
Sure, we'll take it later. And secondly, sir, is there any opportunity for us to cross-sell? We talked about portable compressors of Rotair. So do you see that market now evolving in India? How do you see that opportunity for us?
I don't see a big opportunity for Rotair portables in India, Kamlesh, for the simple reason Rotair makes emission-compliant portables.
Mm-hmm.
And emission-compliant engines are very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And that won't be viable in the Indian market.
Okay.
So, but we are selling Rotair machines in the Far East, we are selling in the US, and we are selling in Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is a higher level of acceptability for emission compliant machines. And Australia.
Okay. Right. So how much would be Rotair's revenue from their own geography, Europe and other than Europe, sir?
Oh, good question. I would say Italy is about See, the electric machine, industrial machines is almost 90% is Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Portable compressors, I would say close to 30% is Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rampica and breakers, I would say close to 80% is Europe, not Italy.
Okay.
So it's, you know, in their main business, which is portable compressors, they are more international than in Europe.
Okay. And even going forward, the growth is also almost in the same lines in terms of other markets doing better.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are indications that European economies are slowly coming back, so we need to wait and see.
Okay. Great. Okay. Stanford, any other questions?
No, sir, not for now.
Great. Okay. So, on behalf of Asian Market, I sincerely thank everyone for joining for this call. A special thank to Mr. Jairam and his team for providing us the opportunity and getting an insight about the company's business and financial performance. With that, we conclude the call. Any closing comments, sir?
No, nothing. Thank you so much, Kamlesh, and thanks everyone for being with us for an hour.
Sure. Thank you and have a good day ahead.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Asian Market Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.